We are continuing our Advent series where we're discovering some of the advantages that we have as followers of Christ. Last week we looked at the advantage we have of being encircled with hope, that Jesus is coming again. Praise the Lord. But today we're looking at the advantage of being encompassed with peace. Encompassed with peace. Now, when we talk about peace, there are numerous ways that we can talk about it, right? Peace is, it's kind of this generalized idea. Depending on what you talk about, it kind of has different effects in our life. We can talk about having peace where we have world peace, right? And there's no nations at war, no conflict at all. We can talk about peace in our own family, in our own lives, where we don't have any conflict with other people, and that's a great peace to have, amen, when you're not in conflict with other people. That's always good. We can talk about having peace when we aren't busy with the hustle and bustle, and it's like, man, we are just living just a good life. We're not going here and there, to and fro, just super crazy. There's just kind of this peace in our life where we're just living life, we're loving it, we're having a great time, instead of running back and forth from one place to another. But this morning, I want to talk about the peace in your mind. Peace in your mind. You know, statistically speaking, we are entering the most stressful and worrisome time of the year. In fact, 64% of Americans say that their anxiety drastically increases during the holiday season. And there are many reasons for this, why anxiety and worry increases during this time. One is seasonal affective disorder, SAD, sad. People are just sad, right? You got the shorter daylight times. My goodness, it's like 4 o'clock and it's dark. Isn't that crazy? Absolutely insane. Shortened days bring a physiological change to our energy levels and it just increases depression and anxiety. We also see the stresses of traveling to see family. If you've ever traveled during the holidays, you know what I'm talking about, right? Man, just the craziness on the road, the weather, if you have to drive in bad weather, just the stress and the anxiety of being with your family. Anybody? Come on. It's like, oh my goodness, you can only handle them for so long. It's just, man, you love them, but man, they cause some stress sometimes. The pressure of finding the perfect gift, making sure your kids have enough gifts that they'll feel happy and excited on Christmas. All of these things lead to increased anxiety and stress during the holiday season. And while our anxiety increases during the Christmas time, it isn't the only time that anxiety strikes. In fact, out of all of the mental health issues that are out there, and there's a lot, anxiety is the number one most common mental disorder in America. Number one. It far surpasses depression. It far surpasses things like schizophrenia and other mental health issues that we think about. Anxiety is the number one. In fact, over 40 million people in America suffer from a type of anxiety. 40 million people. You guys realize that there's only 50 states in the United States, right? 40 million people spread out over 50 states is a lot of people in each state when you start to think about it. That's a lot of people. Not only that, but the overall general level of anxiety has risen, get this, over the last 100 years, our normal average level of anxiety as Americans has risen 1,200% in 100 years. So the normal anxiety that our ancestors, the pioneers, right, who were out west in wagons, who literally people were dying every single day from illnesses that we can cure in the blink of an eye, they did not have as much anxiety and stress in their life as the average American does today. It's like, really? You'd think it'd be way more stressful just trying to survive back in those days. But our anxiety is through the roof. In fact, a psychologist named Robert Leahy, he stated this, get this. The average high school student today has the same level of anxiety as a psychiatric patient in the 1950s. Think about that. The average high schooler in our school here in Ten Sleep, Wyoming, has the same level of anxiety that somebody who was placed into a psychiatric ward had in the 1950s. We are living with so much stress and anxiety. And there's lots of reasons why our anxiety as a society has increased so dramatically. Here's the top five reasons. There's a lot of reasons, but here's the top five. Most of Americans experience stress over personal income, number one. We worry about, do we have enough money to make ends meet, to do the things that we want to do in life? Number two is closely related. We worry about over retirement, right? Is Social Security going to be around when I retire? Am I going to have enough money to live on when I get to the age of retirement? Number two, the two most stressful things that Americans worry about is money. Number three, the most anxiety that people have in America is over terrorism, right? Am I actually safe where I live? Number four is access to appropriate health care. And number five is race relations. Now, you may be thinking, man, really? Anxiety is that bad in our nation today? Like, I don't feel like I'm that anxious all the time, right? I don't feel like I have that much anxiety in my life, right? It just doesn't make sense. Well, that's because we try to manage our anxiety instead of getting rid of it. We live with our anxiety for so long, it just becomes a normal part of our life. But it's not intended to be. Everything surrounding anxiety and its prevalence, you would think that there was something that we could do to just get rid of it, right? Instead of just managing it and becoming normal, and we'd be like, oh man, I don't feel like I'm anxious, even though we are. You think there's something that we can do. Maybe there's a medication you can take to get rid of anxiety, or a certain amount of therapy you can go to where the anxiety will just stop and go away. But it's not true. In fact, a psychologist journal says that the only thing that we can do is manage people's anxiety. That's from the professionals. The only thing, the best thing that the world can do for your anxiety is to help you manage it, to help you live with it, to learn how to cope. We can give you this medication. It's not going to get rid of your anxiety, but it will diminish the symptoms, right? You can go to therapy and you can learn coping mechanisms, but it doesn't get rid of your anxiety. No medication can stop it from happening, but it can lower the symptoms and the stress that you feel, helping you to manage your anxiety. Now, these things aren't bad, okay? Don't think Pastor Brandon's up here saying, oh, don't take medication, don't go to therapy, because all it's going to do is help you manage it. Well, hey, managing your anxiety is better than not managing your anxiety, right? Anybody? Come on. These things aren't bad. I don't think talking to a counselor or taking medication for anxiety is wrong. I don't think it weakens your faith or your trust in God at all. I've listened to several sermons this week talking about this idea of anxiety. And one thing that they always brought up is, oh man, if you have anxiety, you're just not trusting enough in God. I don't think that's true. Listen, I, as your pastor, I take medication for anxiety. This year, I was put on medication. It's not every day. It's not once a week. Just every once in a while, there's just that anxiety and stress that comes on that like, hey, let's help you manage some of that so you can function a little bit better in your life. It's not that I don't trust in the Lord to take my cares and to release my burdens on him. That's not it at all. Medication, it helps manage your anxiety. But there are times when managing your anxiety, it's good and it's beneficial, but it's not enough. I believe that God wants to do more than just manage our anxiety. I believe that he wants to get rid of our anxiety. And we see this in scripture. We really do. If you want to have true peace in your mind, true peace, getting rid of the anxiety and the stress and the worry, the only way you can do it is through God. It's the only way. I believe that God wants to encompass you with his peace. I truly believe that. Two of the most important verses in the Bible that deal with our mental health are found in Philippians chapter 4. And in fact, there are two verses that almost all of us know because we see them on the screen. We read them almost every single Sunday during our prayer time. This is what it says, Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And then you will experience God's what? Peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. This is the New Living Translation. I like how the English Standard Version, the ESV translation, says it, because instead of saying don't worry about anything, it says don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. How many of you have heard that phrase before? Don't be anxious. I've heard that phrase before, and when somebody tells me not to be anxious, you know what? It doesn't help. It doesn't do anything, right? You're just like, oh yeah, let me turn that switch off. But this is what God is saying. He's saying, don't be anxious. Don't worry about the things that are going on in life. These two verses is making a bold statement to the Christians in Philippi. See, the Philippian believers, they were under a lot of stress and anxiety. On top of the normal anxiety of wondering where their next meal was going to come from, they were also facing the fact that any day could be their last day on earth if the right people found out that they were followers of Jesus. The persecution in Philippi was severe. Christians were being murdered on a daily basis. Yet Paul, at the end of his letter, chapter 4 is the last chapter in the letter to the Philippians, he gives these words of encouragement. If you go into your Bible and you look at the heading of chapter 4, it says words of encouragement. And one of the words of encouragement that Paul gives the people is don't be anxious. I'm like, how is that a word of encouragement? Well, it's a word of encouragement because God can get rid of your anxiety. It's not encouraging if God can only manage it, but if he can wipe it away, man, that's encouraging. You don't have to live with the anxiety and the stress in your life. He says, don't stress, don't worry, don't have anxiety. In fact, the word here translated as worry, it's used 19 times in 17 verses in the New Testament. And it's translated from the Greek word that I cannot pronounce, but I can tell you what it means. The Greek word that is translated here literally means to be anxious. That's what it means. So the most appropriate translation is don't be anxious. And that word, that Greek word, meaning to be anxious, is made up of two other Greek words that I think are important for us to know. The first word that is used to come up with the word to be anxious is to tear or divide, to tear something in two. And the second word used to make up this Greek word of anxious is the mind. So when the Greeks, when they would read this word, people that understood Greek, what Paul is saying is, do not allow your mind to be divided. Don't allow your mind to be torn in two between reality and between your perception and your fears of the things that are going on. Don't allow that to happen. So the Greek word that is translated as worry, it literally means to divide the mind. And that's what anxiety does. It divides our thinking between the truths that we know about God, being good and being just, always caring and providing for us, protecting us, and dividing it with the thought of failure, of not having enough, of something going horribly wrong and having a fear that something bad is about to happen. See, anxiety is powerful. It can grip you like none other. And it's powerful because it's a tool that Satan uses to pull you and I away from the truth that God will always be there and be enough. That's what anxiety is. It is literally a tool that Satan uses to draw us farther from God. And Jesus even addresses this anxiety in his Sermon on the Mount. He understands the power that anxiety can hold over you and I. And so this is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. He says, that is why I tell you not to worry. It's that Greek word anxious. Don't allow your mind to be divided. Don't be anxious about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Think about that. Can all of the anxiety that you experience on a daily basis, can that add any extra moment to your life? There's another psychologist, I forget his name, and I forget all of the research, but I remember the statement that he concluded. And he said this: out of all of the anxiety that the average American experiences, 97% of it will never happen. Out of all of the fear, all of the worry, everything that you don't know how it's all gonna work out and everything's gonna go and fit together, 97% of the things that you worry about will never happen. Only 3% are things that you should actually have a little bit of concern and worry about. And Jesus is here saying all of those things, they won't add a moment to your life. In fact, they'll take away from your life. So we know that anxiety is real, right? Paul is addressing it to the Philippians. They're obviously experiencing some anxiety. Jesus himself addresses anxiety and he says, hey, don't worry about the things in this life. It's not gonna help. We see in the Psalms, King David, a man after God's own heart, he experienced anxiety and depression. There are so many Psalms where he's talking about, man, he is just weeping and crying because he doesn't know what to do. Lord, you need to come and just take me from this earth, God. You need to do something because I just can't handle it. I don't know how it's all gonna work out. Read the Psalms. You'll see the anxiety that David encounters. It's all over the place. We know that anxiety is real, right? It's not something that is made up. It's not something that is just in a person's head that they need to get over. Anxiety is a powerful weapon that Satan uses to pull us away from the truth about God. It's real, and God wants us to get rid of it. He doesn't want us to manage it. The world can help us manage the anxiety and reduce the symptoms, but they can't get rid of it. So how do we get rid of our anxiety? How do we go to the Lord and allow him to remove the anxiety in our life? Well, I believe that to have peace in our mind, to truly be encompassed with the peace of God in our mind, we have to replace that anxiety with something else. We have to replace it with prayer and worship. That's what we have to do. That's what Scripture says. That's what Philippians 4 says. The first thing we have to do is we have to pray. He says this. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, what? Pray about everything. There it is. We have to replace our anxiety. And instead of having our anxiety, we replace it by praying about everything. If you want to get rid of your anxiety, your thoughts of worry, your fear of something going wrong, you have to replace it with prayer. Prayer about things that are true and not perceived. Things that are honorable, things that are right, pure, and lovely, and admirable. We get rid of our anxiety by doing what Jesus told us to do, by coming to him, all who are weary and burdened, and he will give us rest. We get rid of our anxiety by releasing our burdens to Jesus. And Paul says to tell God what you need. This can be powerful. When I talk about telling God what you need, I don't just mean saying a prayer like, oh God, I'm having anxiety right now. I really need your help. I mean, if that's all you can pray in the moment, you pray that. But you need to really tell God what you need. So when you're worried about how you're gonna pay the hospital bill that you just got in the mail, you pray and tell God what you need. You say, God, I need the money to pay this bill. So help me know what to do to get this taken care of. Literally pray about what you need. When you are stressing about a situation at work and you don't know how to fix it, pray and tell God, I need the wisdom to know how to handle this situation. So many times we don't go to God and we don't truly ask him what we really need. We say, God, give me what I need. And if you don't know what you need, that's the perfect prayer to pray, right? Because our Heavenly Father, he knows what we need and he will give it to us. But right here, Paul is saying, hey, if you want to get rid of your anxiety, you have to tell God what you need. When you're constantly having anxiety over your children and wondering if they're okay, pray and tell God, God, I need you to protect my children today because I can't. Ask God, tell God what you need. I promise you that when you begin to pray about your worries and your anxiety instead of focusing on the things you cannot control, there will be such a release in your soul. Your mind will be set free. When Scripture talks about how Jesus came to set the captives free, it's not just talking about literal slavery. It's talking about the hold that Satan has in your mind as well with anxiety. He wants to set you free from all these things. And when you pray about your worries, instead of focusing on the things you cannot control, you will feel that release in your soul. Your mind will be clear. You will find that your overall joy and happiness is greater. You will be able to make better decisions. And some of you, you may even feel a physical weight lift off of you because you're not being weighed down with the fear and the worry and the anxiety anymore. See, while we need to pray and tell God the things that we need, right? That's what Paul says right here. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. While we need to do that, we also have to be careful that we don't make our relationship with God one-sided, right? Where we're only receiving from God, but we aren't giving anything to him. It's a relationship with God. Because prayer is only a part of getting rid of our anxiety and being encompassed with the peace of God. We also have to worship. When you are experiencing anxiety and fear and worry, first you pray, you tell God what you need. God, I need this in this moment, in this situation in my life, and then you worship. You worship. Turn your worry into worship. Look at Philippians 4:6 again. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. That's worship. Worship isn't standing in a sanctuary singing songs to God. Worship is thanking God for what he has done. The songs that we sing, they only help us to think about the things that God has done, right? When we sing the songs, we talk about how there's no rival, he has no equal, he has saved us, right? He has delivered us. It's worth thanking God for what he has done. God, thank you for saving us. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you for being the name that is powerful and the name above all names. You thank God for what he has done. You're thanking him for being a God who is there for you. You're thanking him for being a God who hears your prayers. You're thanking him for being a God who desires deeply for you to be surrounded with peace instead of anxiety. You worship the Lord. You see, when you worship God in your anxiety, worship becomes a way for you to release your worries and anxiety and truly just be in the presence and the peace of God. When I begin to feel overwhelmed with anxiety, I first go to the Lord in prayer. Yeah, I have a medication that I can take that will help manage the stress, but I also go to the Lord in prayer. And it's never really a long prayer, but it helps me to get my mind off of the fear and off the anxiety that I'm experiencing and put me into reality, into a place where I am focusing on God, where I'm resting on the truth of his promises, that he is always there for me. He'll never leave me or forsake me. He is my fortress and my strong tower. He will lift me up on the wings like eagles. He will restore my soul. I focus on those things. And in that prayer, I'm reminded of the truth of who God is. And then I put on some worship music and I just begin to praise God. I begin to thank him for his goodness, for his grace and his mercies, for being a God who is always there for me so I don't have to worry about these things. And when I begin to worship God and praise him for who he is, it is incredible how my mind begins to shift away from my fears and into my faith. It is unbelievable how fear can grip us so greatly that even though our faith is there, sometimes it's hard to see. And I think that's what people mean when they say, oh, you're not trusting in God enough. Because sometimes it's hard to see our faith through our fear. So when you begin to pray and you begin to worship, God begins to remove that fear and that anxiety, and all of a sudden your faith is there. The truth of the word of God is there. It's not that you weren't trusting in God to begin with, but now you can see clearly that he is there for you. Worshiping God, it truly gets rid of my anxiety. Now, there are times where I have to pray longer and I have to worship longer. There are times where I have to do it 2 or 3 times in a day. There are different times. It's not like it's a magical equation, right? Where you do this in this certain order, in this certain sequence for this amount of time, and then God will get rid of your anxiety, right? That's not how God works. But God wants to constantly live in relationship with him. He wants us to be in his presence, which will encompass us with his peace. So the more you pray, the more you worship, the more you're in the presence of God, the the more God's peace surrounds you. And when you pray and when you worship, you will have peace. Verse 7 goes on. It says, then you will experience. Then, after you pray, after you worship, then you will experience God's, what? His peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. See, it's after you pray and spend time worshiping God that you experience his peace. So many times we experience anxiety and we think, man, I thought God is supposed to give me peace, so why am I having anxiety right now? Right? But right here, Paul says, hey, it's after you pray and it's after you worship that you receive your peace. In reality, it's been days or even weeks since we last spent an extended amount of time in God's presence. And that's why your anxiety has seemed to just kind of catapult like crazy, because it's been a while since you were praying and in the presence of God. So of course we're experiencing anxiety. But the beautiful thing about the peace that God brings is that it really does exceed anything that we can understand. Science can't explain it. Medication can't get rid of your anxiety. The only thing the world can do is manage your fear, but God can overcome it and encompass you with his peace. It truly is a peace that is unexplainable. When you look at science, if you're a science person and you're into rational thinking and statistics, look up the statistics about people who have a relationship with Jesus. When you look up Christians, when you look up these people that are spending time with God, the overall anxiety and stress in a Christian's life is way lower than somebody who does not have faith in Jesus. Because his peace exceeds anything science can understand. Say, man, we don't know how these people, they have less anxiety than other people. We don't know how they're getting rid of their anxiety, but it's because they are being encompassed with the peace of God. That's what's so incredible about God. Verse 7 says that his peace will not only surpass our understanding, but his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. This right here is powerful. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. See, the Philippians who Paul is writing to, right? Like I said, they're under a lot of anxiety, right? Struggling to eat and just survive on top of being persecuted and being killed for their faith. But they also, Philippi is a garrison, all right? It's a place full of soldiers, right? It's where they soldiers could go, the Roman soldiers, and in a moment's notice, they could be dispatched anywhere in the region that they needed to go. So at being a garrison, they had some pretty thick walls and some pretty big gates. And they were monitored 24/7. You could say that the town was encompassed with gates and walls. Always a guard protecting the town and soldiers from any type of enemy attack. And this is what the Apostle Paul had in mind when he wrote these words, that his peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. He had in mind the idea that God will surround you and encompass you and protect you with his peace in your heart and your mind. I truly believe that there are many of us here today that we need to be encompassed with a supernatural peace in our mind. A peace that far surpasses our understanding, a peace that gets rid of our fear and our anxiety and our worry. We need to be surrounded with the presence of God in our lives. Maybe you're here this morning, you've been trying to manage the anxiety and the stress that you're experiencing, but it's still there. This morning, God wants you to get rid of your anxiety. He doesn't want you just to manage it. He wants you to have true freedom that can only be found in his son, Jesus Christ. See, Jesus was born into this world knowing that Satan uses our anxiety to draw us further from the truth of God. And Jesus is here with us today, asking us to place our trust in him, to tell him what we need, and to worship him, and he will encompass us with a peace that surpasses all understanding. So will you just bow your head and close your eyes with me for a moment? If you're here this morning, if you're watching online, and you need peace from Christ, I want you to simply just lift both hands up in the air. So why do I lift my hands? Well, it's a sign of vulnerability, right? When you lift up your hands, you are coming to God completely free and just saying, God, I'm not coming with any walls or barriers up in my heart or in my soul. It's a physical display of our posture in our heart. And just say, God, I need you to help me with my anxiety. Just in your own mind, in your own words, will you just begin to pray and to ask God what it is that you need? If you're struggling with anxiety, you can lift your hands at home. You can do this too. Say, God, Lord, I need you. I need you to help me with the stress and the fear that I have. Sometimes on a daily basis, a weekly basis, or just in those overwhelming seasons and months when it seems like I'm just so stretched thin and I don't know how I'm going to get everything done. I don't know how I'm going to be the perfect mom and the perfect dad and run my kids to all of these events and all of these things while also taking care of my spouse and dealing with all of the things at work and all of the stress. God, we just need you. We need your peace. We need your comfort. We need your strength. Lord, you came to encompass us with peace. You are the Prince of Peace. So we just ask you right now, Lord, that you will just get rid of our anxiety and our worry. Lord, replace our worry with worship for you. Now that we've asked God what we need, will you just begin to worship God in your heart? Just thank him for who he is. Thank you for what he has done. God, we thank you that you are the Son of God. You came to this world to save me from my sin. God, I thank you that you have never left me. Lord, you sent your Holy Spirit to dwell inside of me, to minister to my heart and to my soul. As we looked at last week, the Holy Spirit comes and he strengthens our hope. Well, he also strengthens the peace in our life. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you will begin to minister to our hearts and our souls, that you will begin to remove the fear and the worry and the stress and the anxiety. Lord, that all of these thoughts that we have of what could go wrong and what happens if this doesn't go the right way and this go the right way, Lord, I pray that you will remove it all. Lord, 97% of it, God, it doesn't matter. Help us to just see the truth of who you are. Thank you, God, for being a God of truth. That you are the truth of the world. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, we just worship you for who you are. We worship you for being our Savior. We worship you for being our Redeemer, for being our help in time of need, for being our strength and our strong tower. God, we just give you praise this morning in our hearts and in our souls. God, we worship you. Not because of what you do, but because of who you are, that you are the creator of the world. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we just worship you. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Surround us with your presence and with your peace this morning. Lord, we don't have to have music and instruments and things to worship you. We are so thankful to be sitting in your presence, here in the sanctuary, at home, in our living room, or our bedroom, wherever we're at, in a hospital room as we're watching. God, your presence is with all of us. And we just worship you this morning. Lord, continue just to replace our anxiety with your peace. Help us to know, God, that when we begin to feel that anxiety, help us to be honest with ourselves and to say, God, when was the last time I spent time in your presence? When was the last time I prayed and the last time I worshiped? And help us to recognize those moments when we need to pray and we need to worship and we just need to cast our burdens and our anxiety on you. You don't want us to live with anxiety. You don't want us to manage it. You want us to be encompassed with your peace. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering to our hearts and our souls this morning. Be with us in everything we do. In your holy, mighty name, Jesus. Amen.